Welcome to Open Your Eyes, a podcast about empowering each of us with a perspective and tools to grow and change. In a week or two, we'll reach our four-year anniversary here at Open Your Eyes, and it's been quite a journey. We now have an international audience of people who tune in each week to seek a little positivity and new perspective to improve their day. You know, this podcast was born from a deep desire to help us all live a happier life, and the firm belief that a powerful way to make that happen is to open our eyes to new ways of seeing life. So, today, I hope wherever you are as you listen to this podcast, it can help you get a new perspective to think and live better. And by the way, share this podcast with a friend. It just might be what they need in their life today. Let's get started. Today, I'd like to talk about the lies that we sometimes believe that end up guiding our behavior and life. Last year, the Pew Research Center reported that 86% of Americans get their news from a smartphone or tablet. And this isn't a surprise. But the same study reports that only 33% get their news regularly or often from the television, and only 11% from radio. And if you look at how users get their news online, the fastest growing news medium is, and it should be no surprise to you, social media and podcasts. Of all the ways consumers get their news, news apps rank the highest, but they've been declining in recent years as social media has grown. For those who get their news from social media, X, or Twitter, ranks the highest, with 59% of social media newsies getting their news on this platform. The number of people getting their news from TikTok has almost tripled in the last 3 years. The number of people getting their news from Facebook and Reddit have been declining over those same years. In fact, the whole news industry is in upheaval. The huge shifts in how consumers get news has caused chaos in the industry. In cable news, Fox still dominates and CNN still has a strong presence, but with such popularity in their news and programming, a significant amount of mistrust has surfaced as a result of their chosen programs. In a recent Gallup poll, only 31% of public said they trusted these mass media stations. And I won't get into the political party differences in trust, but the same survey shows Democrats trust mass media much more than Republicans. With the broad shift toward social media, the misinformation or fake news events have increased more and more. And it seems the app headlines have become so sensationalized that the actual news backing up the headline doesn't match the headline at all. Maybe you've experienced this like I have. The headline says, huge changes coming in legislation, only to find that the changes are actually quite small. So here's the point. With so much mistrust and confusion in the news today, how many lies do we believe? And I think it may surprise us how many. How do we find the truth? And the lies and misconceptions don't just happen in news. We hold perceptions in our thinking that directs our life, and those perceptions may in fact be wrong. And we end up taking action or not taking action based on those misperceptions that we hold. For example, my father-in-law believes that the stock market is too risky, so he's kept his investments and lower performing investments his entire life. In hindsight, he has lost an opportunity to grow his investments faster. And this isn't unique to him. I've held misconceptions for years that I've subsequently learned were wrong and said to myself, why didn't I know the truth? I wish I had learned earlier. And this applies to many areas of our life, from diet, health, to the way we build businesses, the places we choose to live, religion, investments, and a host of other areas. So let's talk a bit about how we can find truth, change perceptions to change our behavior, and even at times, our life. On August 20th, 2022, a TikTok video was posted claiming that Disney World was going to lower their drinking age to 18. It was stated that Disney World was battling with the Florida government in court to get the resort exemption, which would allow anyone 18 or older to drink on property. The TikTok video acquired millions of views in just a couple of days. The story was also posted on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Shortly after, the story made it to ABC 10 News. And the funny thing is that the source of the news started on a blog called The Mouse Trap. It reported that Disney World was working to change the drinking age, but The Mouse Trap is a blog, a satirical site specializing in fake stories about Disney. But one news source after another latched onto the news as if it were news and shared it, and a huge debate was started in the public over it. Here's another example. In the spring and summer of 2025, there was an increase in TikTok videos, YouTube advertisements, and personal testimonies about the Miracle Pink Salt Diet Drink. The stories all promised to help people lose weight quickly with ingredients found in their pantry. The claim came from a story posted in 2022 from a TikTok influencer. I've seen the original post. This recent news craze was actually an old story repackaged as new after making the rounds in 2022. This is a common tactic used by individuals making money off of clicks by driving traffic to their site. And this news story was posted by people who wanted to sell a secret ingredient, and it was actually a scam that became news. In fact, the latest posting that's similar to this is an AI-created image of Oprah Winfrey selling the same thing. I think many of us ourselves, or have a spouse or a friend, that have things in their pantry or medicine cabinet or garage that we bought because we read what we thought was news from a credible source. But in fact, it wasn't at all. Well, in a college course at Central Washington University, like many other universities, students can learn an important skill of how not to fall prey to disinformation. In short, they ask the question of the students, how many lies do you believe? And the funny thing is, students don't realize how many they do. Then they teach the kids to think critically. They learn tricks of how to find the real truth or source. And some of the tricks they learn about how to read social media news is to do the following. First, check for previous work. Has there been anything reported or talked about before? Second, follow the sources upstream. Like the Drinking Age at Disney World article, if you follow the source, you may soon find out it started by an unreliable source. Third, students learn to read laterally. That means to go to other sources and be willing to suspend emotion and read with an open mind to see actually what is true. Perhaps the biggest skill they teach is to check their emotions. We often read a particularly true or untrue article, and our emotion takes us to what we want to believe rather than what is actually true. I once had a public official write me a scathing letter about something that was alleged to have happened at our foundation and was reported to her fourth hand, with each written report becoming more and more false. The truth was entirely different from what she heard. She admitted her emotion caused her to believe what was reported rather than challenge its veracity. One author wrote that a good example of this is Americans' perception of crime. Gallup has been asking Americans if they think crime is getting worse in the country. In all but two of the years in which they collected information, since 1989, most people said that they thought crime was worse in the current year than it had been in the year before. Most of the time, 60 to 80% said that crime was increasing. Looking at the polling data, you'd think that America was sinking into chaos with unchecked lawlessness threatening citizens at every turn. But Americans have been consistently wrong about crime for decades. In reality, crime has declined since the early 1990s. Violent crime happens 49% less than it did in 1993, while robbery is down 74%. There are many reasons for Americans' profound misunderstanding of crime rates, and it turns out that politics and bad faith political messaging can make people believe things that aren't true. One of the funny things about the Gallup data is that large majorities of Americans say that crime is getting worse nationwide, but much smaller percentages say that crime is getting worse in their local area. There's actually a gap of about 20 to 30 percentage points in these numbers, with the same people believing that crime is 30% better where they live. Why is this? Because they're more familiar with crime in their local area, right? But we tend to believe the rhetoric we hear from political factions. Another element of this misinformation is the belief that immigrants, commit a higher percentage of crime than others. But in-depth research by the Stanford Institute of Economic Policy Research has clearly shown that Mexican and Central American immigrants with low levels of education, which comprise a large share of immigrants, are, as a percentage, significantly less likely to be guilty of a crime than U.S.-born men with similarly low levels of education. In fact, white U.S.-born men without a high school education commit more crimes as a percent of their total population than any other group. So do you hold misperceptions that are directing the way you think or live? For example, do you believe you can't be as successful at building your business as someone else? Do you believe you aren't smart enough to go back to school? Do you hold a prevailing perception that your station in life keeps you from making different choices? So here are a few things I've learned about self-perception. First, it's hard to find the truth alone. Tony Robbins says, proximity is power. And I remember the first time I heard him say this, it struck me so powerfully that I made significant changes in my life as a result. What he suggests is to consider the people who you have the closest proximity to in your life. And are they the type of people who will help you set a realistic view of yourself and your potential? Years ago, I made some significant changes in my life, where I lived and where I chose to spend my time. The primary reason for this change was the proximity principle. I found the people, other than my spouse, who had the most proximity in my life were not people who helped me have a strong perception of myself. They filled my life with false narrative. One person in particular went to great lengths to create negative narratives in my life. So I made some tough changes, and I made certain that the people who were most proximate were builders for me. And at the same time, I examined my own tendency to be the type of person who created belief-building narratives in the lives of other people. And I realized at the time I needed to make some changes. And I'm still working on this. One of my favorite scriptures says, "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth." People who really love you don't rejoice or focus on your wrongdoing. And we all have wrongdoing. But they rejoice in the truth that you can be someone better, someone remarkable. So here's what I've learned. We often think we can do this kind of work of creating truth in our life by ourselves, and some people can. But I need help, and I do better with the right kind of people proximate in my life. The people you spend time with will affect your dreams, mindset, and motivation. If a friend robs you of your belief, or a parent or a colleague makes you feel small, their negativity can erode your sense of self over time. By contrast, research shows that strong, supportive relationships can make challenges feel more manageable. One study even found that people perceive a hill as less steep when standing alongside a belief-building person. When you're surrounded by people who encourage and uplift you, believing in yourself becomes easier. And here's the thing. That is truth, not the other narratives. Recently, I've had someone in proximity in my life go through a divorce. I'm amazed at the narratives that her spouse has tried to create during their divorce discussions. And it seems so much healthier to simply acknowledge mistakes, because we all have them, accept that others have a different view, rather than trying to rewrite history or false narratives along the way. The famous scripture says, "The truth will set us free." And I believe this in a number of contexts. First, when we see the potential in ourselves, we're free to act more confidently. Second, when we see the truth about our shortcomings, we're free to change more easily. Third, when we see the truth of why we're here in this life and what type of choices make us happy, we're free to avoid things in our life that may bind us or our thinking. Too many of us are held hostage by our beliefs or behaviors. One author put it this way: there are a lot of voices trying to influence how we think about ourselves and the way we look, our talents, our potential, and even our identity. But those voices can be misleading. It doesn't matter what people think or say, or how many mistakes we make, we are valuable because God loves us and accepts us completely. But if we're going to walk with God, we need to be in agreement with Him, learning to think as He thinks with the truth. You know, Paul wrote, "I like who God made me. He loves me, and I'm special to Him. I have gifts and abilities that He has given me, and I'm thankful for them. I also have weaknesses, but I trust God to show His strength in these areas." This leads me to an important point. In addition to the people that are proximate in your life, what words are proximate in your life? One reason Scripture, for example, is so powerful is when it's proximate in your life and you engage with it, you start to hold different perceptions on your belief window of life. Prayer does the same thing. Joyce Meyer told this story about what happened in her life as she changed God's proximity in her life. "I remember one day when I was praying for my husband to change," she says, "God spoke to my heart and said, 'Joyce, Dave is not the problem.' I thought, well, who is? There's just me and him. So if it's not Dave, then who is it? Isn't that amazing? I was so self-deceived that it didn't even occur to me that I could be the problem. For the next 3 days, God showed me what it's like to live with me. I was so sorry for the attitudes I had, the way I behaved, the anger I displayed every time I didn't get my way, and it was so hard. But I needed to face the truth about myself so I could have freedom from sin and the things that were keeping me from the love, peace, wisdom, and joy that God had in store for me." She said that as she opened up to the truth, that she then felt a different feeling. It was the feeling that she could change, and a vision of the beauty that could enter her life as she did change. This is the type of truth that is empowering. You know, some of the most dangerous lies we encounter are the ones we tell ourselves. These internal falsehoods are subtle, deeply ingrained, and often invisible, and they shape our beliefs, limit our potential, and distort our sense of reality. The question isn't whether we lie to ourselves, but how many of those lies we're willing to believe, and why we let them persist. Self-deception is not merely denial, it's a coping mechanism. Psychologists have studied how people maintain beliefs that contradict reality. Self-deception is not merely denial, it's a coping mechanism for many of us. Psychologists have long studied how people maintain beliefs that contradict reality. These lies aren't always malicious or delusional, but they're often born from a need to feel safe, accepted, or worthy. For example, a person might believe that they're not good enough for a promotion, even though they're overqualified. Some may stay in a toxic relationship because they're convinced that it's not that bad. These lies over time become internalized. One study says we often believe that others are more like ourselves than they really are. Thus, our predictions about others' beliefs or behaviors based on casual observation are likely to err in the direction of our own beliefs or behavior. For example, college students who prefer brown bread estimate that the majority of other college students preferred brown bread, while white bread eaters estimated that only a small percentage of students preferred brown bread. This happens to us all the time. We assume that since we feel a certain way, that others feel the same, and this keeps us from the truth. Another cause of lies is the consensus bias. We believe if people believe a certain way, then it must be true. I see this in my work all the time. A group of uneducated or inexperienced people get in a room and start brainstorming. And because they're narrowly focused and not skilled at thinking critically or not bringing data to the conversation, they believe what they've talked themselves into, when in fact, it may be a false belief. Many of you are building a business, and I see this sometimes in your work. You have a few months of struggle and you get together with others, you're narrowly focused, and you start talking and writing a narrative like, this business doesn't work like it used to, or you're not capable, or you're too old, or whatever the narrative might be. When in truth, these are lies, and a consensus of your small team does not make it more true. We also believe lies because of self-serving bias. This bias is a distortion of the truth to protect our self-esteem or reputation. I've been guilty of this bias many times. With my teenagers, I saw at times my holding on to a false narrative to prove I was right. Have you ever done this? I think we all have. Sometimes the lies these types of biases create in our lives are lies that affect our life. In 1954, Dorothy Martin sat quietly in her living room in Chicago, watching the clock tick toward midnight. Around her, a small group of devoted followers waited with bated breath. Their faces were tense but hopeful. The end was near, but not the end they feared. You see, Dorothy, a soft-spoken woman in her 50s, claimed to receive messages from extraterrestrials from the planet Clarion. These beings had told her that a great flood would wash over the Earth at exactly 12:01 a.m. on December 21st. But her group, called the Seekers, would be spared. Spaceships would arrive just in time to lift them to safety. The group had sacrificed everything. Some had quit their jobs, left their families, given away possessions. They believed that salvation from the spaceships was coming. Well, midnight struck. They held hands, eyes closed, and at 12:01, nothing. Just the quiet hum of the heater and the soft tick of the mantel clock. One of the members wept. Another clenched his fists. A few sat in silence, stunned, staring at the ceiling as if something might descend. Well, minutes passed. Still nothing. Then something unexpected happened, not in the skies, but in the room. Dorothy lifted her head and said, "They told me they've decided to spare the Earth because of us, because of our faith, our light. The disaster has been canceled." A breath of relief passed through the room. Tears were turned to smiles, shock turned to joy, and they believed her. Despite the complete failure of the prophecy, the group didn't fall apart. In fact, many members became more committed than ever, now convinced their belief had saved the world. To the outside observer, it seemed a bit absurd, but to them, it was truth. Now, as crazy as this seems for this group of people to believe these lies, we also believe lies just as preposterous. These lies are lies I suspect we've told ourselves. I'm not good enough. This is just who I am. I can't change. I'm fine. I don't need help. I'll never be able to do that. Misty Copeland is the principal dancer at the American Ballet Theater, one of the most recognized achievements in all of dance. And most remarkable is that Misty is the first African-American woman to ever be promoted to principal dancer. In her best-selling book, A Ballerina's Tale, she summarizes the remarkable story of her life. In 2015, she was named one of the world's 100 most influential people as listed by Time magazine. But her youth was filled with hundreds of lies. Raised in LA, by the time she was still in elementary school, her mother had been married four times. During these years, Misty, unlike other ballet professionals, never studied dance or gymnastics. But by the time she reached high school, she was participating in the school's drill team. After another marriage breakup, Misty moved with her mother and sisters to two small rooms at the Sunset Inn. Her home life was filled with lies, telling her that she couldn't rise above her circumstances. Through the local Boys and Girls Club, however, Misty started to attend ballet classes. The teacher of that free ballet class invited Misty to attend her ballet school. The teacher started to speak truth to Misty, and Misty started to believe. Soon the teacher was driving her to a dance center every day after school. When Misty's mother had to move and Misty would have to give up ballet, the teacher offered to let Misty live with her. So during the school week, Misty would study at the school and ballet class, then be home with her mother for the weekends. With the lies out of her life and new truth in her life, Misty would be recognized as the best young dancer in the LA area. When Misty would return home, she would often argue with her mother. You see, her mother wanted to keep her from ballet and resented Misty's success. So Misty ran away from home and filed emancipation papers. Misty, despite the trouble and publicity of doing such a thing, hung on to the truth that she was meant to be a dancer. And she would progress to become one of the best dancers in the world, despite not having started ballet until she was 13. This year, Misty has announced that she will retire from dancing after 25 years at the American Ballet Theater, a 25-year testament to the power of not believing the lies in front of us, but listening to the truth, no matter how hard the path is that results from following that truth. So whatever lies you are believing in your life today, consider stepping aside from the biases you hold, examining critically the sources of those lies, and getting the truth from a reliable, proximate, more faithful source. Recognize that the news sources we feed our mind will alter our beliefs and actions. Believe that a more close proximity to positive people and faith in God will help you know the truth. And watch. As you do these things, you'll find more freedom, happiness, and joy in living your life with a belief window and self-concept based in truth. Most of all, thanks for being here today. And don't forget to share this podcast with a friend. And join us next week for another podcast as we learn to open our eyes to who and what we can become.